Iman in the hidden and the unseen. So with regard to what we had last time, then who can remember what Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned in his explanation with regard to believing in part of what the Prophet ﷺ came with? Just accepting a part of it. Shaykh al-Fawzan made clear that this is kufr in all of it. If a person picks and chooses, says, well, this part of what the Prophet ﷺ came with, whatever it may be, whether it's affairs of the hidden and the unseen or something else, that I choose to believe in this part, but I can't believe in that part, then this behavior is kufr, is unbelief in all of it. Who can remember the point that Shaykh al-Fawzan also made with regard to the role of the intellect? That what role of the intellect, or what role does the intellect have with regard to what we affirm from the narrations of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What role does the intellect play with regard to what we affirm or what we don't affirm in that regard? Yeah. That the intellect does not play a role in that matter. The intellect cannot, as Shaykh al-Fawzan put it, there's no scope for the intellect to enter into matters that are confirmed from Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to try and decide we affirm this or we don't affirm that. There's no scope for the intellect in matters of the hidden and the unseen. There is no scope for the intellect, the aql. Rather, we affirm whatever is brought to us by Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The intellect cannot be used in these matters. You know, with regard to entering into it and deciding what we affirm and what we don't affirm. No, we affirm whatever Allah's Messenger is authentic. From Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we affirm it. So then with regard to that which is authentic, well, that's the answer to the question. Allah musta'an. Fair. The Shaykh al-Fawzan made the point that the condition is that it's authentic, that there is a condition with regard to what we affirm from Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The condition is that it's authentic from him. Authentic with who, though? Still a question remains. Authentic with who? Yeah. With the scholar, for us to affirm something as being correct and established from Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then there is the condition that his chain of narration is authentic with the people of hadith, with the scholars of hadith. Shaykh al-Fawzan also, he brought an answer to some people who deny the punishment of the grave. Those who say that if we dig up a grave now, if you dig a grave up, okay, you say that the position of the people of the Sunnah is that in the grave a person will either receive bliss or he'll be punished. But some people say, but if we dig up a grave, we don't find either of these happening. On occasions when graves are exhumed or they're dug into or they're uncovered, we don't see either. We don't see any fire in the grave. We don't see any gardens of paradise. What answer did Shaykh al-Fawzan give to these people? There's people who deny it based upon that. Yeah, he quoted an example. But he made a simple point really as well. Shaykh al-Fawzan made that this is something that's from the world of the hereafter. The punishment of the grave or the bliss of the grave are not things of this world, they're things of the next life. So no doubt, if the people dig up a grave, they don't see any fire in the grave. They don't see any gardens of paradise in the grave. They don't see it with their eyes because they're still alive. They're in the life of this world. And the punishment and bliss of the grave is something from the hereafter that we don't experience. To us who are still alive, it's the ghaib. It's from the ghaib, that which is hidden from us. And as the brother mentioned, Sheikh Fawzan, he gave an example for this, which was the example of two sleepers. That there are things that that happen, because some people say, well, look, I don't see it with my eyes, I don't experience it, so I don't believe in it. So Sheikh Fawzan mentioned there are a number of things that happen, or many things that happen, that we don't see, or we don't witness. It doesn't mean they don't happen. It doesn't mean they're not present. And he gave the example of two people sleeping, side by side. One of them experiencing terrible dreams, the other one experiencing a lovely, peaceful sleep. And they're side by side. When they wake up, the one who had the terrible dreams, he didn't perceive anything from the blissful sleep of the other one. And the one who had the blissful sleep didn't perceive anything from the terrible dreams and nightmares and alike of the other one. So I give that as an example. And that's from the matters of this world. So how about affairs of the hereafter, like the punishment of the grave or the bliss of the grave? Shaykh al-Fawzan also, hafidhahullah, mentioned a point that the screening away of the punishment of the grave, and it's being made something from the ghaib with regard to us who are still alive, it's made something from the ghaib, the hidden and the unseen. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. He mentioned this is a mercy. How is it a mercy? He mentioned a point there. How is it a mercy with regard to those who are alive that we don't see it? Or we don't witness the punishment of the grave, we don't hear it. Yeah, no doubt. Shaykh al-Fawzan made the point that if people were to hear and witness the punishment of the grave, they would die. Because of the terror of it. And when the person is who is punished in his grave, when he's struck, he screams out with a scream that's heard by everyone. Such a loud scream that's heard by everything, except for mankind and jinn. It's screamed away from us, kept away from us, as a mercy upon us. Because if we heard it, we would fall, as the Shaykh mentioned, we'd fall dead. We'd fall dead upon us, witnessing it. So it's a mercy, it's screened away from us. Who can remember why Abu Bakr, as this is a side point, why Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu, was termed as-Siddiq? Why was he given this title, as-Siddiq? No, because his attesting to the Siddiq is, he was Siddiq, one who attested to the truthfulness of the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in whatever he came with, even to the extent that when as occurred in the incident the Shaykh mentioned, that on the incident of the Isra and the Mi'raj, the night journey to Jerusalem, and the ascent through the heavens, when he came back, the next morning he informed the people of Mecca. So they used it as an excuse to mock him. Look, here is a man who's claiming he went all the way to Jerusalem, a month's journey. And they went up through the heavens, and he came back down, and then he came back another month's journey, all in a single night. So the unbelievers of Mecca used it as an excuse to mock the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they even went to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and said, do you know what your companion is now claiming? You've believed him so far, but do you know what he's claiming now? He claims that he went to Jerusalem and then up through the heavens and returned all in a single night. So then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, if that's what he says, then I believe him. So he was given, as the narration mentions, reported by Al-Hakim, he was entitled As-Siddiq, the one who attests to the truth. Shaykh al-Fawzan gave an answer to some people who say the night journey of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his ascent through the heavens, that it was just a dream. We have to understand it was a dream. What answer did Shaykh al-Fawzan? He gave two answers actually to those people. Who can remember? The one answer, as the brother mentioned, the first ayah from Surah Al-Isra, Subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi. Perfect is Allah, the one who took his abd, his slave, on the night journey. And this term slave, referring to a person, means the person in his body and in his soul. A person is not termed an abd with regard just to his spirit, or with regard just to his body without the spirit, but rather when the two are combined, when the two are together, the body and the spirit, the person is termed the abd, the slave of Allah. And there was a second response he mentioned as well with regard to dreams, and those who say it was a dream, who remember the second response? that if it was a dream, then that if it was a dream, if it really was a dream, the Quraysh would not have denied it. Because all sorts of things can happen in a dream. People don't deny dreams. If a person said, look, I flew through the air, I went all around the world, and somebody wouldn't deny it. If he said it was in a dream, nobody would deny it. They'd say, okay, it's a dream. So the fact that the Quraysh denied it shows that it was not a dream. The Prophet ﷺ was not claiming that he had a dream. Rather, he was taken bodily, with his body and his spirit, to Jerusalem, and then up through the heavens, and then returned in a single night. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to continue with this section on the Iman in the Ghaib, in the hidden and the unseen, then the Imam Ibn Qudama, rahimahullah, he continues on what occurs on page 196 of this Egyptian edition. He continues, وَمِنْ ذَٰلِكَ أَنَّ مَلَكَ الْمَوْتِ لَمَّا جَاءَ إِلَىٰ مُوسَىٰ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ لِيَقْبِضَ رُوحَهُ لَطَمَهُ لَطْمَةً فَفَقَعَ عَيْنَهُ فَفَقَعَ عَيْنَهُ فَرَجَعَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ فَرَدَّ عَلَيْهِ عَيْنَهُ. He said, and from that, and from these matters of the unseen that we affirm, and from that is that the angel of death, when he came to Musa alayhi salam to take his soul, he struck him and knocked out his eye. So therefore he went back to his Lord, and he restored his eye to him. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said in explanation of this, and from the reports which it is obligatory to believe in, is the story of Musa along with the angel of death. And he was Musa ibn Imran, Musa the son of Imran, alayhi salam. Wa alaykum salam. And he was Musa ibn Imran, alayhi salam, Kalimullah, the one to whom Allah spoke. The angel of death came to him in the form of a man, as a test and a trial. So he informed him that he was going to take his soul, and he was in the form of a man. So Musa struck him, because Musa alayhi salam, he was a person of fervor. So he struck him, meaning he struck him upon his face, meaning the angel of death. Musa alayhi salam, angel of death came in the form of a man. He didn't recognize him. So when he said he was going to take his soul, he struck him upon his face and knocked out his eye. So the angel of death went back to his Lord and said, you have sent me to a servant who does not want death. So Allah restored his eye to him and then said to him, go to him and tell him to place his hand upon the skin of a bull. So whatever it covers from the skin of the bull, then he can have for every hair a year which he can live. In an extra year. He puts his hand upon the bull, whatever, how many hairs of the bull it covers, however many hairs there are, he can have one extra year for every hair to extend his life. The Shaykh mentioned, so he came to Musa a second time and informed him of what Allah the Majestic and Most High had said. So then he said, وَبَعْدَ ذَلِكَ, and after that, he said, الموت, it will be death. I mean, after that period, what will happen after that? الموت, he said, it will be death. So he said, إِذَنْ الْآنَ يَا رَبِّ, Musa alayhi salam said, in that case, now, make it now, O my Lord. Shaykh al-Fawwad, footnote here mentions this hadith is reported by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad from a hadith of Abu Hurairah, and its narrators are reliable, those of the Sahih, except for one narrator, Ibn Lahi'a. And the hadith is also reported through authentic chains of narration, also occurring in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, and the hadith is reported by al-Bukhari as hadith 1339 and 3407, and reported by Muslim from a hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu also. And the mention of the knocking of the eye is mentioned, knocking out of the eye is mentioned by Muslim. That occurs in the narration of Muslim. So then back to that's the footnote. So the hadith reported, the basis of the hadith occurs in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. So back to the explanation of Shaykh al-Fawzan. After mentioning, he said that Musa alayhi salam said, what comes after that? He said death. So he said, then make it now, O my Lord. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning, since death is something which must occur, then let it be now. Let it be now, O my Lord. So he took his soul, alayhi salatu wassalam. I mean, the angel of death took his soul at that point. لَمَّا عَلِمَ أَنَّهُ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ وَأَنَّهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْهِ. And there's a printing error here, which is in the Egyptian edition, copied from the same printing error in the Saudi edition. It should be أَنَّهُ لَمَّا عَلِمَ أَنَّهُ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ وَأَنَّهُ. So it should be an alif and lam before the maut there, and the waw should be disconnected. So it should be أَنَّهُ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ. So when he knew that he was the angel of death, and that he was a messenger sent by Allah to him, he submitted. In Musa alayhi salam, he submitted. Alayhi salatu wassalam. As for initially, then he did not know that he was the angel of death. I mean, when the first time the angel came to Musa, he came in the form of a man. Musa alayhi salam did not recognize him. So when he said he was going to take his soul, Musa alayhi salam struck him. And when he realized, the second time when he came, and he was made aware that he was the angel of death, then he accepted. Then the Imam Ibn Qudama, he continues, mentioning another point from the matters of the ghaib. وَمِنْ ذَلِكَ أَشْرَاطُ السَّاعَةِ. And from that are the signs of the hour. And from that are the signs of the hour, meaning the last hour. From that are the signs of the last hour. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, in explanation, and from that, from the reports of the ghaib, from the reports of the hidden and the unseen, which occur in the future, which it is obligatory to have iman in, are the ashrat al-sa'ah, are the signs of the last hour. And the word ashrat is the plural of sharat, and it means a sign. Means a sign. And he gives the evidence. Allah the Most High said, فَهَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا السَّاعَةَ أَنْ تَأْتِيَهُمْ بَغْتَهُ فَقَدْ جَاءَ أَشْرَاطُهَا Surah Muhammad, Ayah 18, with the explanation. So are they awaiting, except that the hour should come upon them, suddenly? For indeed, its signs have already come. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning the signs of its establishment, and that it is close to happening. Or the signs of its establishment and the nearness of its happening. فَأَنَّا لَهُمْ إِذَا جَاءَتْهُمْ ذِكْرَاهُمْ. Same surah, Surah Muhammad, 47th surah, the 8th ayah. 18th ayah. It's again a printing error again. Doesn't make any sense that it will be the 8th. Yeah. It's the same ayah, the 18th ayah. With the explanation that how will they take admonition when the signs have come to them? Or rather, how will they take admonition when it comes to them, when the last hour actually comes to them? How will they then be able to take admonition when the hour actually comes to them? Shaykh al-Fawzan said, in explanation, when the hour is established, there will be no scope then for having iman and believing at that time, and repentance will not be accepted from them. And when the hour is actually established itself, there will be no scope at that time for that a person decides, then I'll have iman now, it's too late. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and the signs of the hour are many. From them are the first signs. Al-alamat al-ula. And from them are al-mutawassita, the middle signs. And from them are the al-akhira, the latter ones. So he divides the signs of the hour into these three categories. The first ones, the middle ones, and the last ones. Then he breaks it down and says, as for the first ones, then they have already occurred and have finished. And Allah knows best. From them was the sending of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being sent as a prophet was from the signs of the hour, because he is the prophet of the last hour, alayhi salatu wassalam. He said, Bu'ithtu ana wassa'atu kahatayn. He said, I have been sent along with the last hour like these two. And he indicated with his forefinger and his middle finger, and the two fingers which are right next to each other. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, I have been sent like these two, right next to each other, himself and the last hour. In the footnote they mention this hadith, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, I have been sent along with the last hour like these two, indicating with his two fingers together, is reported by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, and by Al-Bukhari as hadith 6504, and by Muslim and at Tirmidhi from a hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan continued, so he is the prophet of the hour, he is the prophet of the last hour, alayhi salatu wassalam. Then he explains that there will be no prophet after him until the establishment of the last hour. And then he said, and the conquests which occurred, and the spread of Islam, all of these are from the signs of the hour. And Islam being victorious, and spreading widely upon the earth, all of these are from the signs of the last hour. Because the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam informed of that. He informed that these things were going to happen. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan moves on to the middle category of signs of the hour. He said, and the middle signs of the hour, and they are very many, and amazing things occur, one of them following another. And we live now in the midst of amazing things which newly appear and arise. These are from signs of the hour. These inventions, these great industries, these very fast connections, this is from the signs of the hour. And that which he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, informed of, that lands would be brought close to each other, all of it is from the signs of the last hour. And has occurred. It has happened. Then he moves on to the third category of signs of the hour and says, and then the final 10 signs will come. I mean, they haven't come yet, but they will come. And then the final 10 signs of the hour will come. And they will follow on in quick succession. Firstly, the emergence of the Mahdi. The emergence of the Mahdi, who will be from the family of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the descendants of Al-Hasan. Obviously Al-Hasan, the son of Ali. Al-Hasan being the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Fatima radiallahu anha. So he said, the Mahdi will emerge, and he will be from the family of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, from the descendants of Al-Hasan. His name will be like the name of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Muhammad ibn Abdullah. The name of the Mahdi will be Muhammad, the son of Abdullah. This is one of the evidences, of course, which the scholars use to negate the claims of all those people who claim to be the Mahdi throughout the ages, that they come and their name is not Muhammad and their father's name is not Abdullah. So the Mahdi, when he comes, he'll be from the family of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the descendants of Al-Hasan. His name will be like the name of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning he'll be called Muhammad, the son of Abdullah. So he will spread justice, and he will spread Islam, and Allah will aid the religion through him. And he will fill the earth with justice, just as it was previously filled with oppression. And then in his time, Al-Masih al-Dajjal, the great liar, the Dajjal, Al-Masih al-Dajjal will appear. The one-eyed one, the Atwar, the one-eyed one, Al-Kadhab, the great liar. So in the time of the Mahdi, the Dajjal will appear. The one at whose hands Allah will bring about a tremendous fitna, a tremendous trial, and a tremendous test. From his wisdom, he, the perfect and most high. The Dajjal will come and he will be a very great trial. And his sending, and this trial, will be from the wisdom of Allah that it should happen. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned, and then Al-Masih, Isa ibn Maryam, Isa, the son of Maryam, alayhi salatu wassalam, will descend at the end of the days of the Dajjal. He, Isa, will descend from heaven, and he will kill the Dajjal, and he will judge by Islam. and that is the legislated way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he will remain upon the earth for some time, and then death will come to him, alayhi salatu wassalam. And he will die in accordance with the lifespan which Allah decreed for him. He the Most High said, وَإِمْ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا لَيُؤْمِنَنَّ بِهِ قَبْلَ مَوْتِهِ Surah An-Nisa, the fourth surah, ayah 159, with the explanation, and there is no one from the people of the book except that he will certainly believe in him, believe in Isa alayhi salam, before his death. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning in the Masih alayhi salam, meaning Isa alayhi salam. So this shows that he will die at the end of time, and he will be buried like the other prophets. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan mentions another of these 10 great signs. He said, then the emergence of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Emergence of these tribes, Gog and Magog, Ya'juj and Ma'juj. And they are two tribes from the descendants of Adam. And they will cause tremendous evil. And will cause trials and tribulations and bloodshed and great hardships upon the people of Iman, upon the believers. And then, he mentions a further one from the ten, then the emergence of Adab, the beast, the emergence of the beast, who will distinguish between the Muslim and the unbeliever. And he quotes the ayah, وَإِذَا وَقَعَ الْقَوْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَخْرَجْنَا لَهُمْ دَابَّةً مِنَ الْأَرْضِ تُكَلِّمُهُمْ أَنَّ النَّاسَ كَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا لَا يُوقِنُونَ Surah An-Naml, the 27th surah, ayah 82. This ayah was regarded to the دَابَّةُ الْأَرْضِ, the beast of the earth, with the explanation, and when the word befalls them, we will bring out for them a beast from the earth who will speak to them, declaring that the people did not have certain faith in our signs. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so he, talking about the Dab, the beast, he will place a sign upon the believer, upon the mu'min, by which it will be known that he is a believer. And he will place upon the kafir, the unbeliever, a sign by which it will be known that he is an unbeliever, a kafir. So the people will then recognize each other, the believer recognizing the believer, and the unbeliever, the unbeliever. Or the people will recognize the believer as being a believer, and the unbeliever as being an unbeliever. That's how it should have been translated. That the people will come to recognize each other. The believer is a believer, and the unbeliever is an unbeliever. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan moves on and mentions another one from these signs, these great signs, the last signs. Then the coming out of the sun from its place of setting. And this is the last of the major signs. So when the sun comes out, when the sun emerges from its place of setting, then acceptance of Iman and acceptance of repentance will have ended. A person accepting Iman or trying to repent after that, it won't be accepted after this has happened. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan continued, and then, after that, the emergence of fire from the depths of Aden, the emergence of fire from the depths of Aden in Yemen, which will gather the people towards Sham, towards Palestine, Syria. It will remain with them wherever they spend the night, and stop with them wherever they stop to take a rest. And it will drive them on towards the Mahshar. This fire will drive the people on towards the gathering place, the gathering place for the resurrection. Then the Imam Ibn Qudama, he mentions, his text continues here, after he's just said before, وَمِن ذَلِكَ أَشْرَاطُ السَّاءَ, and from that are the signs of the last hour. He continues, مِثْلُ خُرُوجِ الدَّجَّالِ, like the emergence of the Dajjal. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said in his explanation, explaining the Dajjal, he said, he is called a Dajjal because he is a great liar, from the word ad-dajjal, which is al-kadhib. Ad-dajjal means al-kadhib, lies. It means lies, falsehood. So that's why the Dajjal is so called, meaning he is a kadhab, he is a great liar. And he is called al-masih. That's his title, is obviously al-masih ad-dajjal. He said, and he is called al-masih because he travels quickly upon the earth. He travels, or he will travel very swiftly upon it. So that's the first explanation of why the Masih or Dajjal is called Masih. This word Masih, it can mean someone who travels very quickly over the face of the earth. Something which travels very fast over the surface of something else. Something skims over the surface. So Ad-Dajjal is the first reason, the first explanation of why he's called Al-Masih, is because he travels very quickly over the face of the earth. Then he mentions a second explanation of why he's called Al-Masih. He said, obviously both these explanations being correct, being a fact, he said, and it is also said, he is called Al-Masih because he has what, because his eye is mamsuh, his eye is smooth, wiped away. He is a'war, he is one-eyed. And one eye is just smooth, no eye there. So there are two explanations why he's called Al-Masih. Obviously, a Dajjal means he's a great liar, and the Masih either means because he travels very swiftly over the face of the earth, which is established in authentic narrations, or because he has one eye, his other eye is wiped away, he has only one eye, which is also established in authentic narrations. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and he will claim that he is Allah, the Majestic and Most High. But Allah, the Majestic and Most High, is not one-eyed. Again, this is established in the authentic hadith of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he gave the people this sign. That when he told the people about the Dajjal and that he will be one-eyed, that Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mentioned, obviously, because he will claim that he is Allah. So the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, gave the people this distinguishing sign. He said, and your Lord is not one-eyed. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, it will be written between his eyes, between the two eyes of the Dajjal, the place of his two eyes, kafir, unbeliever, which will be read by everyone. So he is a Dajjal khabith, a foul and great liar. And he is Masih ad-Dalala. He is the Messiah of misguidance. And Allah will send down Masih al-Hidayah. Allah will send down the Messiah of right guidance, who is Isa ibn Maryam, alayhi salam. He is called al-Masih, I mean Isa alayhi salam. Why is he called al-Masih? Because he could wipe, obviously the word in origin means wiping, masaha, to wipe. Then Isa was called Al-Masih because he used to wipe his hand upon a sick person and he would be cured by the permission of Allah. Just by his wiping his hand upon the sick person, he will be cured by the permission of Allah. So the Masih, the Messiah of guidance, will kill Masih al-Dalala, the Messiah of misguidance. Isa alayhi salam will kill the Dajjal. He will chase him and he will kill him at the gate of Lud in Palestine. And Lud is a city in Palestine. So he will kill him there. And then he, alayhi salatu wassalam, will judge with the legislation of Islam. And he will break the cross. And he will kill the swine, he will kill pigs. And he will set aside the jizya, the jizya tribute, meaning the tax which the people of the book pay to Islam, pay to the Muslims. Because there will be no more people of the book after that. So he will set aside the jizya, the tribute, and he will judge with Islam, with the legislation, with the legislated law of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he will be a follower of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a ruler judging by the revealed law of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the Imam Ibn Qudama, he continues, mentioning a further example, وَنُزُولِ عِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ فَيَقْتُلَهُ فَخُرُوجِ يَعْجُوجُ وَمَعْجُوجُ. And the descent of Isa ibn Maryam عليه الصلاة والسلام. So he will kill him. He'll kill the one who was mentioned just before, the Dajjal. So he will kill him. And the emergence of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. And then Shaykh al-Fawzan mentions what we'll take as the last point here, explanation of this point. The emergence of the Ya'juj and the Ma'juj. He said, obviously he mentioned it briefly before, and now he mentioned it with further detail. He said, Ya'juj and Ma'juj are two tribes from the descendants of Adam. Their story is mentioned in the Qur'an. Their story is mentioned in the Noble Qur'an. And that is that the great king who was a believer, Dhulqarnain, was given establishment by Allah, the Perfect and Most High. So he travelled to the eastern parts of the earth and to its western parts, calling to Islam and to Tawheed and fighting jihad in Allah's cause. And then when he reached between two great mountains, As-Saddain, and they are two tremendous mountains, he found beyond them a people who could scarcely understand any words. And they were Ya'juj and Ma'juj. And they were threatening mankind. I mean, they were threatening the rest of mankind. Then he quotes the ayahs, قَالُوا يَا ذَا الْقَرْنَيْنِ إِنَّ يَأْجُوجَ وَمَأْجُوجَ مُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَهَلْ نَجْعَلُ لَكَ خَرَجًا عَلَى أَنْ تَجْعَلَ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهُمْ سَدًّا قَالَ مَا مَكَّنِّي فِيهِ رَبِّي خَيْرٌ. Surah Al-Kahf, the 18th surah, ayahs 94 to 95, with the explanation that the people said, when he reached that area, the people said to him, O Dhulqarnain, Ya'juj and Ma'juj are causing corruption upon the earth. So can we pay you a tribute for you to erect a barrier between us and them? So he said, that which my Lord has established me upon is better. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so he refused to take anything from them. And he informed that what he had with him was sufficient for him from that which Allah the Perfect and Most High had given him. Then he requested from them that they should bring for him materials and things. So he built this tremendous barrier. He filled the gap between the two great mountains. And he made it a tremendous and smooth barrier. No one was able, or no one is able to pierce it. And no one is able to surmount it, meaning to climb over it. So this barrier became one of the favors of Allah upon mankind. Dhulqarnain said, هذا رحمة من ربي, that this is a mercy from my Lord. Then Shaykh al-Fawza makes the point, however, at the end of time, they will demolish this barrier. Just as he, the Most High, said, فَمَسْتَطَاءُ أَنْ يَظْهَرُوهُ. The continuation of the ayahs from Surah Al-Kahf, the 18th surah. فَمَسْتَطَاءُ أَنْ يَظْهَرُوهُ. The ayah should have been read, فَمَسْتَطَاءُ أَنْ يَظْهَرُوهُ. With the explanation, so they were not able to surmount it. They were not able to, as Shaykh al-Fawzan said, they were not able to climb over it. وَمَسْتَطَاءُ لَهُ نَقْبًا. And they were not able to pierce it. Surah Al-Kahf, the same surah, ayah 97. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, however, at the end of time, Allah will give them the ability to break it. فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ رَبِّي جَعَلَهُ دَكَّاءَ وَكَانَ وَعْدُ رَبِّي حَقَّا وَتَرَكْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَمُوجُ فِي بَعْضٍ. There's Allah crept in there, into this Egyptian print. The ayahs from Surah Al-Kahf, ayahs 98 to 99, with the explanation, so when the promise of my Lord comes about, he will level it to the ground. And we shall leave them to surge amongst each other like waves on that day. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, in that day when the barrier is broken down. So they will emerge against the people of the earth, and they will cause such corruption and bloodshed and evil as is not known except to Allah, from that which has been described in the Ahadith. And mankind will not be able to oppose them. And then Allah will send an illness which will afflict them. I mean the Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Allah will send against them an illness which will afflict them in their necks. And it is a naghaf, parasitic worms, like dood, like some parasitic worms, which will afflict them in their necks, and they will all die, and the Muslims will be at peace from them, and the creatures of the earth will eat from their bodies until they become fat, and give thanks, and thanks are given. So these are tremendous signs and major signs from the signs of the last hour. And this section continues. He mentions further examples from the signs. Walhamdulillah wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Any points of clarification?
Example,
This is a question, ask the people of knowledge, inshallah, but from a little bit that I know, with regard to changing that person, changing the name, some of the people of knowledge point out that in accordance with the Sunnah of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if a person had a name which was a name involving shirk, that he was like the slave of the sun or the slave of something besides Allah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would command him to change that name. And then other names which do not contain that, then they'll generally keep their names. As for protecting of lineage, then no doubt from the goals of the legislation is a person protecting the lineage, and the person should protect the lineage. In other words, that there's not intermarrying between people who are not allowed to marry, and so on. No doubt, inshallah. Allahu a'lam. Saying exactly what saying. Obviously, we find hadith. There are hadith in Sahih Muslim that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam changed certain companions' names from a bad meaning to a good meaning, or some names that he changed, like Barra, a woman of righteousness. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam changed her name to Zainab. So he changed some names that either the name has a bad meaning, or that a name is a declaration of self righteousness. A person declaring himself in our name, a person he would change the name. Yeah, Allah, ask the people of knowledge, inshallah.
Of course, it's last name, it's not surname.
Allah, all I know is, ask for a proper answer, ask the people of knowledge. And a person shouldn't lose out on the name of his father. For example, if a person, his father has a certain surname, his grandfather has a certain surname, it doesn't need to delve back into centuries and centuries to find out what, you know, was that originally. A person should. Fair, inshallah. Allahu alam beyond that. The last signs which he mentions, then he the major signs are the last signs, no doubt. No, it was the hadith, the long hadith occurs in Sahih Muslim. Towards the hadith at the end of Sahih Muslim, whether it actually mentions that particular point, I'm not sure. The hadith about that, obviously at the end of Sahih Muslim, the hadith about the fitan, the trials and tribulations, you'll find at least something of that in the Isa alayhi salam, narration about Isa alayhi salam, they're fighting against the dead, or coming and killing the Dajjal, a long, long narration. Oh, but we believe what occurs in the hadith. As for spooky Sufi beliefs, Sufi believe Dajjal is a one-eyed banknote or something, and they can keep their beliefs themselves. Yeah, we affirm what's in the hadith. Yeah, we don't twist the sayings. We don't twist the words of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We affirm, as the whole point here, these are matters of the ghaib. A Dajjal is something from the ghaib. We don't see the Dajjal, and we don't have the right to such, because we don't see him, or because we start chaining, it means this and it means that, it means a $1 banknote, or it means a television, or it means all the evil things that Sufis twist the hadith to mean. Why don't they just accept what occurs in the hadith? What's the problem with accepting what's in the hadith? Just because their intellect can't cope with it, then okay, they switch the intellect off then. Yeah. Who told you have to use it? Your intellect has to accord 100% with it. Why? Who told you that? It's ghaib. Yeah.
Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.